is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope you're doing well on, man, what is, this is like a flashback to late fall or something. I know it's still officially fall. It isn't winter for a few more days officially, but man, what a pleasant day. Temperatures in the mid 70s. Nice day. So hope everybody enjoying it. I'm a little beat. but the show must go on. At least that's what I heard. So here we are. It is Bill. Dan, again, is out of town through Thursday. He'll be back in on Friday. He's up in Cherokee, North Carolina, where the Troy women are in a holiday basketball tournament. So he'll be back in the studio on Friday. So once again, in his stead, the one and only Coach Don Dunn. Don, how you doing today?
Doing great, Bill. Thank you. Sorry you're not feeling well, buddy.
Yeah, I'm just so tired. I mean, the thing is, it's this sinus thing.
It just drains you. It just wears you out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
And it's going around. The guy I work with, he didn't come in today.
Oh, is that right?
Sick, and yeah, I don't.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, it's crazy. I mean, we haven't even had terribly bad weather, but I mean, when the stuff starts to hit, it does spread.
Yeah, we were
at a family thing over the weekend, and you know, you don't ever know if somebody, and a lot of times they don't even know
right
if they're getting sick, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, a bunch of people have it. So
right.
So yeah, I've got my can of Lysol here to be able to spray the mic when we're done.
Got your germs.
When we're done today. We love for you to join in, because honestly, I'm telling you what, I got home last night and this may sound crazy, but sitting and talking and actually thinking about what you're talking for 2 hours, is a little tiring, but I mean, it really wore me out. I was just beat when I got home last night. I didn't want anything to eat. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to sit. And I sat in my lazy boy for about a little over an hour and a half. And finally, my wife says, "Don't you want something?" And I said, "Not really." So I had like one of the standards when I'm not feeling well, or when the weather sometimes just starts to turn a little cold, which it wasn't last night. But give me my old standard of tomato soup and a grilled cheese.
There you go.
I didn't even go with the grilled cheese last night. It was just tomato soup and some crackers.
Yeah, hard to beat that.
It's like that was it. And then made it for about another hour and a half, and that was it. Crashed last night, slept, stayed in bed for like 10 or 11 hours.
Wow.
And still dragging today. So, any help would be appreciated if you've got something on your mind sports-wise. I don't believe that Auburn has added to its collection from the transfer portal today. This is day 9 because the portal opened last Monday. So through Sunday was 7 days. Yesterday was the 8th day. Auburn has 8 additions from the transfer portal. Now, there has been one since we were on the air yesterday, since we left the air. Mason Murphy, big offensive tackle from Southern Cal, is Auburn's second offensive lineman addition in the last 2 days. And Auburn has more players visiting campus today. I had a question. As a matter of fact, Tex texted me earlier today, and I had just been looking at the roster with, subtracting Walker White and Amaris Williams, who, again, Auburn would love to get back. And if you don't think things like that can happen, it happened at Alabama today.
Yeah.
As Jalen Mbakwe, who went in the portal yesterday, from a couple of folks that I've talked to, about $500,000 later, he's back in Tuscaloosa. So, man, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, that's a pretty good raise.
Yeah, no kidding.
Early Christmas.
Yeah, yes. Early. That would be early Christmases for the rest of my life.
No kidding. That just blows my mind, Bill.
Well, that's the reality of the way it is right now.
Yeah, and they're not the only ones doing it.
Because these players, you know, a lot of the players are hearing from their agents, hey, there's a lot more money if you go out there.
Yeah, and go out and come back.
And maybe don't even have to leave.
Yeah.
Now, I heard, I heard somebody yesterday comparing it to like a relationship. Like, all right, you're with someone, and how likely would it be that you're going to be able to patch things up if you say to that significant other, hey, I think I'm going to go check things out and see how things go. And they said, you know, they said, I couldn't take anybody back like that. And it's like, look, this in my, this is not like that kind of relationship.
No,
this is a
no.
biz. Yeah. This is business.
Yeah. This
and
is
don't
business.
Think, don't think that aren't plenty. There aren't plenty of people who, if they have an opportunity, if they're at one job, even if they really like that job, if there's an opportunity they feel to make a whole lot more money doing pretty much the same thing somewhere else, you might not turn in your notice, but depending on how comfortable you are in your position, you might let it be known that other people are interested in your services.
Oh yeah,
and that's more what I think this is like.
Yeah.
For the people that go, this is ridiculous. You know that this can't be going on. Well, under the current rules, it absolutely can, mm-hmm. and it makes sense that it would be because it is like folks working at very high paying, high stress positions that have opportunities. And if you can cash in, if you are valuable enough, then your employer, even though right now the schools are not considered the employer and the players not the employees, but it is basically what it is right there. So yeah, Jalen and Bakwe back at Alabama. Auburn, I do not believe, has given up yet on Amaris Williams. So we will see, but I believe the net right now, Auburn's had about a dozen players enter the portal, and they have eight that have now signed with Auburn to be with them for this next year. The question that I had was, you know, how many more spots do they have? By my math, looking at players who were on scholarship and, as far as I know, are still here, have not entered the portal, I believe Auburn is at around 79 scholarships. So that means they have six more scholarships available if nobody else leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And you know there are going to be more players leave. So I would think that Auburn probably has around 10, maybe more, mm-hmm. scholarships available. And that's why they'll continue to bring in players and see if they can improve the roster.
And it also opens again, right, in the spring for a few days?
Yeah, it's open for 10 days in April. It's 20 days in December.
Okay, yeah.
This goes through December 28th, and then I believe it starts April 16th, goes April 16th through 25th.
Okay.
So
yeah, they'll have some more.
Yeah, well so this would that would allow players that have gone through spring practice and feel like, well, I'm not in the playing picture, I'm not as high on the depth chart as I thought, whatever, something like that, to enter the portal. Now, that those guys, it's going to be tougher for them to be able to step right in and play, now, depending on who they are,
mm-hmm.
but step right in and play in the fall. And remember, the SEC still has that rule that if you transfer in the spring to another SEC school, you're not. But that's why you'll see most players entering the portal, I would think, here over the next 11 days.
Mm-hmm.
I also had someone ask, well, you know, what's up with these players waiting to go in the portal? Well, it makes perfect sense. I mean, if you're a player that is at one school, it would make, just like talking about going through spring and seeing how your situation is. If you're at one school and all of a sudden your school goes out and signs a couple of players at your position from the transfer portal, and you've got the opportunity to test the waters, I can see where that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Yeah, and I agree with you. I think there'll be some more. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but you know something's going on at every school, every athlete, even the ones that are set and happy, they may still be looking. You never know. It's crazy.
All right, got word from the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. We're going to check in with him on the phone here in just a few minutes. So we will do that shortly. Again, we'd love for you to join in here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. And you can do so by calling The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390. You can text us on The Drive text box. And that is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcasts of The Drive, or wherever you get your podcasts. And that number is 334-564-1840. So anything on your mind sports-wise, we'll talk about basketball. I think we've got some Bruce Pearl audio we can let you hear about the matchup tonight against Georgia State. We will talk with the voice of the Auburn Tigers here, Andy Burcham, here in just a few minutes about Auburn athletics. Let's see, a couple of other notes. Boy, the Hot Stove League continuing as the New York Yankees acquiring Cody Bellinger from the Chicago Cubs today. The Cubs have been pretty active. The Yanks have been pretty active here in this. I know a lot of Braves fans are wondering, hey, when are we going to get in the party? I'm sure they will. Alex Anthopoulos has a reputation for keeping things pretty close to the vest. Yeah, there may be no warning, and then all of a sudden, bam, it's going to be something big. But I would expect something coming there before too long as well. But yeah, that's one of the top stories in Major League Baseball today. So we've got quite a bit we can talk about here on the Tuesday Drive. Again, love for you to join in. We'll go ahead and get to our first break, and we'll check in with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, on the other side here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with 343-221-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Back into The Drive. I don't think we have him. Looks like we lost Andy. I looked over and I saw all the lines were blinking. That's what usually they're almost all blinking except for the one that we're on. So we will, Andy has let me know that he was disconnected. We are calling back to the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham. We will get him on the air here momentarily as the Tigers back at home for a matchup against Georgia State this evening. As the Tigers coming off an unbelievably impressive victory over in the Holiday Hoopsgiving over Ohio State. And tonight, a nearly 40-point favorite over Georgia State at Neville Arena. Andy, how you doing today?
Well, I'm very well, thank you. I hope you're having a good day on a gorgeous, gorgeous Tuesday.
I have felt better, my friend. I am.
Oh no.
Yeah. I think our family get together. Somebody must have had a little bug or something at the family get together over the weekend. So, but Dan's here, and the show's got to go. So here we go. But yeah, as I was saying, while we were at the at the family Christmas down in South Alabama, we were doing our best to be keeping up with that that Holiday Hoopsgiving massacre over Ohio State. My goodness, I don't know, and we've talked about it so many times this year, but I don't know that Auburn's been more impressive than they were in their dismantling of Ohio State.
Ohio State led 3-0, and then the game changed for the rest of the day. Auburn tied it, took the lead, and never looked back, and just got up by 16 or 17 points in the first half, and then went 6.5 minutes without scoring, and yet the lead never dipped under double figures.
Right.
And then when Auburn finally put it back into gear, just continued to run away with that game, and it was more of the same in the second half. And it was a historic day for Jani Broome: 21 points, 20 rebounds, 5 assists, a couple blocks, and no turnovers. And then he got back on the team bus, and he and Chaney Johnson got back to Auburn in time, literally, to walk into Neville Arena and put on a gown and graduate.
Yeah, how about that?
Pretty good day. Pretty good day.
No kidding. What you know, and Jani right now has to be. I mean, one of the front runners, if not the front runner for not just SEC Player of the Year, but National Player of the Year. He is having a phenomenal year, and it's amazing, as good as he was a year ago, how much he has improved this year.
Well, he's a much better passer than he was a year ago, and I'm not sure teams doubled Janai as much as we have seen this year, and you do that at your own risk. Because he's Auburn's leading assist guy, Brad.
Right.
Well, I mean, he's 3.8 assists a game.
Yeah, that is crazy. And we're not just talking about last game. I mean, no, you're talking for the season.
And he showed me some moves Saturday. And I was racking my brain to see, to try and remember someone that he reminded me of. And I'm not trying to compare him to this Hall of Famer, but it reminded me of some of the moves that Akeem Olajuwon had as a pro with the Houston Rockets,
right,
especially on his drives and his moves around the basket. And I mean, Akeem Olajuwon was an incredibly athletic big man and a Hall of Famer, and deservedly right. So. But some of the moves we're seeing Janai now, that's who it reminds me of a little bit right now. And teams just can't stop Janai Broome. I mean, he scores 21 points with 20 rebounds in 26 minutes and doesn't play the last 9 minutes of the ballgame.
No, he could have had a triple-double easily.
Easily.
I mean,
easily.
He sees the court so well. You know, he's also, I mean, you're seeing a little bit more of where this came from with the background. I believe he was around 6'2", he said, when he was a sophomore in high school. So he was a guy that had to be able to handle the ball and distribute the ball some, and then he just, you know, he grew another 9 or 10 inches after that. But I mean, he still has that ability, and the selflessness that he and this entire team show is something really special to watch.
Well, the last, I mean, he said, he told Bruce Pearl, he said, hey, get more minutes for Jaheim Hudson. I mean, he could have gone back in and concentrated and easily had a triple-double on Saturday. But I think he felt it was more important for him, one, to get some minutes off, and two, to give Turtle more minutes on the floor. And we've heard the same thing said about Chad Baker-Mazzara with regard to Jakai Howard.
Right.
In the last couple ball games. And as long as this team plays like this with a very selfless attitude and the depth that this team has, I mean, you look at Denver Jones, Miles Kelly, Chad Baker-Mazzara, and Tahad Pettifer. They're all shooting over 40% from three. Jones, Kelly, Pettifer, and Baker-Mazzara are all shooting at least 87% or better from the free throw line this season. And then there's Janai, who's averaging a double-double of 19.7 points and a nation-leading 12.7 rebounds. Oh, by the way, with 3.8 assists. And then Dylan Cardwell just plays the role that he's dealt. I mean, he's going to play in his 139th game tonight. He will tie Jalen Williams for the most games played in an Auburn career tonight.
Wow.
And, you know, a guy that's already graduated summa cum laude from the Harvard College of Business. And, you know, and he gets his out there. And he is as good a defender as there is in the country, especially of a big man at this point. It's almost scary. How well this team has played through 10 games this season.
Oh, you're absolutely
against a non-conference schedule, against a non-conference schedule that's as tough as Auburn's ever had. Now, you get Georgia State tonight, you still get Purdue on Saturday in Birmingham, and you close your conference season against a Monmouth team that has one win at this point. But I was listening to Daryl Dapprich with Ben Taylor Monday morning driving into work, and I thought, Darryl put up a very good point. As tough as this non-conference has been for Auburn, the Southeastern Conference schedule is going to be even tougher considering how good this league is from top to bottom this season.
Yeah, I mean, I looked. Now, I didn't include. Were there any SEC games last night? There may have been. I was sort of out of it. But going into last night, the SEC as a league was 143-20 against the schedule they're playing. And it's not like everybody's playing the Sisters of the Poor every game. I mean, the SEC's taking on anybody, and they're beating them and beating them soundly.
Joe Lunardi was on with Peter Burns on the morning SEC show on the SEC Network. And listen, he's the first guy that we look to for that, you know, for the NCAA tournament bracket, whenever it comes out. Mm-hmm. And he was asked about the Southeastern Conference, and he had one word to describe it right now, and that's outrageous.
That's a great word for it. I mean,
what this league has done, and you look at all the teams in the top 10 right now, and you've got the top two teams in the country, in Tennessee and Auburn, and oh, by the way, there's Alabama, and oh, by the way, there's an undefeated Kentucky ball club, and look what Missouri has already done.
An unbeaten Florida.
Yeah, over Kansas this year. I mean, South Carolina's win over Purdue last week. Mm-hmm. It is remarkable. And that's why, and I think Darryl is absolutely right. This SEC schedule is about to get even tougher than this non-conference schedule has been, just because this league is so good top to bottom.
And that's something that you know, folks are going to have to realize, that you're going to lose some games in the SEC. It's going to be extremely difficult to go on the road and win in this conference. We were talking about it the other day, Andy. I mean, boy, I mean, if I don't know that you could expect much better than 13-5 to win the league, because that would mean if you hold serve at home, don't lose a single game at home, which is tough enough. I mean, that is extremely tough. Then you'd have to go over 500 on the road to finish 14-4.
Well, it's a grind. It always is a grind in the SEC, but it's even tougher this year because the league is so good. I mean, you know, there's talk of 10 to 12 teams making the NCAA tournament.
And they
sure, and Bill, I mean, it hadn't been that long ago.
Oh.
That Mike Slive, who at the time was the commissioner, before he passed away, really challenged the SEC. You've got to get better. And then, well, what was it? One year there was four teams in the NCAA tournament. He says, guys, we've got to improve our schedules. And it was not a request of the league. It was an order for the league coaches. And they've done that. And take a look at what could be maybe the greatest year in Southeastern Conference basketball history this year.
Yeah, and that's why Auburn's depth is going to serve them so well as they go through the grind of this regular season, getting ready for the postseason, and to what Janai did with Turtle and what CBM did with Ja'Kai, I think is great, because they're going to need those guys. I mean, there's going to be times when they need more minutes out of some of the guys that aren't getting quite as many as the top 7 or 8.
Well, there's going to be a game where Janai just doesn't have it, or he gets into foul trouble, or one of these guys is a little bit banged up, and Miles Kelly, I think, is still, you know, nursing a tender right wrist. We didn't see any evidence of it on Saturday. His biggest problem was foul trouble, or one of these guys is going to get into foul trouble early in a game, and that's when the depth will play as much a factor as anything, at least through the SEC. And it may be that Bruce Pearl, and he's not talked about this yet, but in years past, he has tried to whittle down his rotation.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you there's going to be one of these games, and maybe more than one, where that depth becomes an important factor because of an injury or foul trouble or just an off night for one of these guys. It's bound to happen.
Yeah, the good thing is, as you said a little while ago, I mean, Auburn has so many different players that can beat you in so many different ways, multiple players that can shoot. It's not just one or even just two players that can beat you from outside. And then, you know, Janai and Dylan and Chaney inside, along with Turtle and Ja'Kai. I mean, they're just so many different players who can step up and have the capability of having big nights.
It's awfully fun to watch this ball club play basketball right now, because they enjoy playing basketball with each other. They're playing incredibly well. And you know what? That needs to happen tonight, in spite of the fact that Auburn's a 40-point favorite tonight. Georgia State comes in 4-6. But they're not going to be afraid of Auburn. Not at Neville. Not tonight. And they've won big ball games in the past. Can understand why they're an underdog tonight, but maybe not to the point of a 40-point underdog. But when does Auburn have just an off night as a team? When does it have an Appalachian State game like it had a year ago there? You know? And I think that's one of the challenges that Bruce Pearl has with this team right now. Is a game like tonight, where you're coming off of just a curb stomp against Ohio State, a boat race against Ohio State, and you still have Purdue coming up on Saturday, and what will be one of the marquee games in the country, and you don't want to stub your toe tonight at home against Georgia State. You want to continue to get better. This team needs to get better at this point.
Yeah, and that's where you rely on the experience, and there's so much experience on this team that for them understanding what they need to do to continue to put themselves in the position that they want to be in when the regular season comes to a close.
Absolutely. Now listen, everything right now you're building to March.
Yep.
At this point, because you still have that Yale game from a year ago in your memory. And that will not go away this season. I think Bruce Pearl will use that all season long.
No question about it. Andy, no. I mean, it is it's crazy time. I mean, just wild times in football with the transfer portal. Auburn is adding players at an amazing clip. And you can really see the emphasis that has been placed that Coach Freeze bringing in, you know, Will Redmond and the staff has really been working and were prepared. And they've really gotten a jump on the transfer portal and adding to the talent on this football roster.
Well, Will Redmond and Bianca Webb and Kenyatta Watson, just to name a few, are some of the people behind the scenes right now. I was doing a radio hit this morning, Bill, and didn't even realize it till I looked down at my phone and saw that the tackle from
Mason
USC
Murphy
had committed.
Right.
Yeah, at that point. And so
it's like it has been every few hours you need to check because there's probably somebody else that signed.
It appears that Auburn has done what it wanted to with the portal. When you get two quarterbacks, you get two offensive tackles, a receiver, you get a couple guys in the secondary, you get a tailback, a big tailback, and I'm not sure they're done, Bill. I think they'd like to get some more help on the defensive side.
I am sure they would. I like to add an interior defensive lineman, an edge, a linebacker. They have a punter already, so I mean, really impressed. And yes, it's nowhere near done.
And the good thing is, all of these guys are going to be in January. They'll go through spring ball.
Yep. That is exactly right. Andy, I know you've got to get ready for the broadcast here in just a little while. Let us know what all is on tap there with the Auburn Network.
Well, with the loss of Chet Williams, that's just an enormous blow.
Unbelievable. You're right.
For Auburn, because he touched so many lives for such a long time at Auburn. And I was able to find a podcast that he and I did in July of 2018, and I put it out today. So that podcast is available anywhere you typically listen to the Talking Tigers podcast. Mm-hmm. It is out there now.
Great.
And it is an older podcast, but it's a chance to listen to Chet tell his story.
That's great.
Not only his story as chaplain at Auburn, but his story as a player and being dismissed as a player at Auburn. So that is running right now, along with the podcast, Talking Tigers podcast, with James Armstrong, Auburn's new soccer coach. Coming up Monday, you'll hear from Ira Bowman, Auburn assistant basketball coach, who was recently inducted into the Big Five Hall of Fame in Philadelphia. He talks about that. It fascinates me to listen to him talk about that historic area for college basketball. Then we're going to take a little break for Christmas. Our broadcast tonight begins at 6:30 on Wings 94.3, Auburn and Georgia State. And then the Tigers, right before Christmas, get Purdue at Legacy Arena in Birmingham on Saturday. That's a 3:30 tip time. We'll be on the air at 3 o'clock from the Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center on Saturday.
That's great, Andy. Have a great broadcast this evening, yes, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas, guys. Have a great one. War Eagle.
Andy Burchett, voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining us as he does on Tuesdays. Yes, Auburn, Georgia State tonight, 6:30 airtime over on Wings 94.3. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Offensive line university. Uh-huh. Just think back of all the Bell brothers and all those great ones. And, yeah, that's two impressive bodies, just looking at their size and,
yeah, Chaplin, and experience. Chaplin is massive. Yeah. I mean, he was listed this past year at Virginia Tech at 6'7", 323. Murphy is a, you know, just a mere 6'5", 315.
Yeah, big boys, long arms, what you got to have at the tackle. Good feet, very good pickup.
Yeah, so, I mean, Auburn with two quarterbacks, with Jackson Arnold and then Ashton Daniels. I watched a little of some video on Ashton Daniels today. He can really move, and he is not a slight guy. He was listed this past year at Stanford at 6'2", 215, and was considered one of the fastest players on their team. And you can see it. He ran... he actually rushed for 800 yards, but I mean, after sacks, and sack yardage comes off your rushing, mm-hmm. he still had nearly 700 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Net rushing after sacks came off this year. So he's a guy that has a strong arm, can make all the throws, but at times has forced some passes into coverage, been a little inaccurate at times. He's a 60% passer for his career. As I said yesterday, his best game passing probably was against Colorado year before last, back mm-hmm. in the 23 season, when he threw for 396 yards against yeah. Colorado. But, I mean, he's a guy that – now, he is the only player, I believe, that is signed that will not be in the spring, because he is finishing up his degree at Stanford. He will get his – he will have his bachelor's degree in 3 years
at Stanford.
Yeah. So you'd figure he should be able to pick things up
yeah.
pretty quickly when he yeah. gets here this summer.
Yeah, he's a sharp young man. That's no joke if you go to Stanford.
Oh, yeah. And then the other players, the eight that Auburn has thus far, the two quarterbacks, Jackson Arnold and Ashton Daniels, the running back Darrell Robinson, who has come in from UConn, mentioned the two offensive linemen. So it's five players on offense thus far, just two players in the secondary, Tay Seymour, safety from Georgia Tech, and Rayon Strader, who is the cornerback coming in from Miami of Ohio. Thing I like about a lot of these guys is there's more than 1 year of eligibility. Both yeah. Strader and Seymour have 2 years of eligibility. Over on the offensive side, obviously Jackson Arnold has 2 years of eligibility. Darrell Robinson has 3 years of eligibility. And then on the offensive line, Xavier Chaplin has 2 years of eligibility. However, all these guys are draft eligible. I mean, if they yeah. come in and have a great year, then sure, they can move on to the league. But you know what? You probably won't mind if they all come in and have great years. That probably says something about what your team is going to be as well.
Yeah, that's always a concern. But it's a good concern if you have players that are that good.
Yeah, I'd rather have somebody that is good enough worried that they're about considering jumping to the league
exactly.
as opposed to somebody that isn't good enough to get out there and play.
Exactly. So I agree with you, Bill, what you said earlier. I think they've done a great job so far in the portal. They've, like you said yesterday, they are ahead of where they were last year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they learned. It's a learning curve. I mean, mm-hmm. every day is learning. I mean, because this is all new.
Yeah, and, that's right.
And you got, and it sounds like they've got great people behind the scenes, which we talked about yesterday. You have to have.
Yeah,
you got to have that guy or girl in that office that knows what's going on the phone, on the computer, all the resources, and it's 24/7. And it's tough on them, but, you know, if you get a kid on campus, I mean, you got a shot.
Oh,
especially with the money that's out there now. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're doing a great job
yeah,
of
yeah.
identifying.
Exactly.
You know,
and they're not just bringing in anybody.
No, They're bringing in players that multiple schools would dearly love to get
and have tried
on their
to
roster.
Get in for sure.
Yep, and and Auburn for the most part has been able to get. They've gotten most of them to go ahead and sign.
Yeah, then that's the key, like you said yesterday. If they come and leave, you worry.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Auburn's still waiting for a decision, see what Eric Singleton, the receiver from Georgia Tech, is going to do. He went to Ole Miss after Auburn. I believe he's going to Miami later this week. And then he says he'll make a decision. He want, you know, most of these guys do want to make their decisions before Christmas.
Yeah.
So I would think by early next week, most of them will make decisions. But yeah, you're just hoping. I mean, you're trying to stay in touch with them.
Yep.
And you know, let them know how much you want them and how they'll fit in and things like that. But you have no control.
No.
Once they're gone.
Once they're gone, the next guy's gonna, you know, tell them what they need to hear. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Auburn, the eighth signee that Auburn has is the punter from Oklahoma State, Hudson Cock.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, big leg. He averaged over 43 yards a punt, and I believe the number I saw was at least one punt downed inside the 20 in every single ball game this year. So that's good with Oscar Chapman out of eligibility as well. All right, we'll talk some more basketball again. Love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise. We'll get to our final break of hour number one, though, as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. 12 minutes away from 5 o'clock. We were just talking, a little bit more, and Don got some information about Chet Williams, and there's going to be tomorrow visitation from 12 to 1 at Lakeview Baptist.
Saturday, correct?
It's Saturday. Yeah, I said tomorrow. I meant Saturday, my bad. So Saturday, noon to 1, visitation, and then a service. 1 o'clock service followed by graveside service on this Saturday. But then January 23rd, there will be a celebration of life for Chet Williams.
And so, I believe they're going to have that in conjunction with Auburn Athletics and the university. So there'll be more about that
sense.
Later.
Right.
Yeah.
So just wanted to pass that along. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love to get your thoughts, fans. What do you think about how Auburn's done the portal thus far? I know there were a lot of people that were very concerned. I mean, it's crazy. The portal opened last Monday. Auburn didn't get a player in until Wednesday. And by Wednesday, they're already... Oh, crap, we're not going to get anybody because they haven't. I mean, they started coming in very shortly after that, but they have 8 additions. What do you think so far? What do you think Auburn needs to get? And how has that changed your feeling, if any, about the upcoming season? Are you looking at the year with a more positive view, or are you just feeling like, well, it's the same old, or, I'd love to get thoughts from folks as to what you see, because they're not done.
No.
Now, look, they're not done losing players. They're definitely not done adding players. There will be more players that go in the portal there. I would think up to this point, Amaris Williams is one of the biggest losses that Auburn has had.
Yeah,
I mean, even though he wasn't a starter,
right,
he was a very high-ceiling young defensive lineman who had a lot of versatility.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a done deal that he won't be back at Auburn, but I mean, I think it's not going to be an easy pull.
Right.
Because he is very attractive, especially to his home state school, the University of North Carolina, where Bill Belichick is. And all of a sudden, it sounds like there's a lot more money. A lot more folks are willing to open their wallets and help North Carolina try to restock that roster.
Yeah, and North Carolina's got money. You know that. Hopefully he has a change of heart and wants to stay, but like we said earlier, Bill, you never know who's talking to these kids.
Yeah, that's
right. You don't know what he's listening to or what they're telling him. And probably 95% of it's not true. But the bottom line is it's financial, like you mentioned yesterday.
Yeah. So, I mean, we will see. But Auburn's going to – I think that adds to the number that Auburn needs to get. I think they need to get a couple –
right.
A couple of more, maybe three defensive linemen.
Yeah, for sure. Like we always say, you cannot have enough of those, especially the nose guard type that you were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, because, I mean, really the only player that Auburn has that could even fill that bill right now, not counting the freshman,
right,
would be Bobby Jamison Travis. The other two guys, I mean, it would be Jordan Crawford and Malik Autry, the two freshmen who just played in the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game.
Yeah.
And it's great. I mean, that's great if they get an opportunity to play. And I know you'd, you'd love to be able to play these young guys, but, boy, you'd sure like to have an experienced hand to be in there and sort of take them under his wing.
It's so hard, especially in the SEC, to come in and play as a true, true freshman. But it has been done, but – realistically, in the best cases, you don't want to have to play a true freshman right away. But, you know, it might have to.
Now, let's say I'm seeing that Auburn has had a place kicker now visit. We just had had somebody ask about that yesterday.
Yesterday we were talking about that.
Yep.
Yeah. And they probably would take one. I mean, you hate to.
Well, you just don't know. You don't know, you know, how Alex McPherson is going to be health-wise. And that's the most biggest concern with him right now.
Yeah.
It's not football.
No.
Just getting healthy.
Right.
And that would leave you with a couple of – I mean, Towns Magoo was a preferred walk-on who has a very good chance of earning a scholarship. And then Ian Vachon was the transfer from Birmingham Southern. But he wasn't even the primary kicker at Birmingham Southern when they shut down the school.
Right.
So Auburn,
yeah, they definitely need to probably get a place kicker, and we have a punter, right?
Right, yeah, the punter from Oklahoma State, and he has 2 years of eligibility. Auburn has a kicker visiting who it appears would have 3 years of eligibility. Connor Gibbs kicked for Southern Miss this past year, 10 of 13 on field goals, 3 of 4 from beyond 50.
Where's he from? Does it?
He's from Metairie.
Okay.
Metairie, Louisiana, which is just outside New Orleans.
Yeah, not
just
far.
Basically a suburb of New Orleans. That's where I spent my first year in elementary school, was in Metairie, Louisiana. Actually, no, it was second grade in Metairie. First grade was New Orleans. Second grade, we moved across over to Metairie. It's crazy to tell you how bad things were for Southern Miss. He kicked as many field goals as he did extra point attempts.
Yeah, they had a terrible year. So, bless their heart, and that's why they have a new coach.
That's exactly right.
And I was kind of surprised the guy from Marshall went to Southern Miss.
Me too. But
I don't understand.
I still feel Southern Miss potentially should be a better opportunity than Marshall just because of the talent.
Yeah, the state of Mississippi.
That is around
New Orleans right down the road.
Yes. The Gulf Coast. I mean,
Texas is not that far.
They're the closest school,
yeah,
really,
right,
to the panhandle of Florida and Mobile.
Right, for sure. Yeah,
well,
a hot
South now, obviously.
A hot bed for recruiting. And you know and I know, back in the day, you didn't want to play Southern Miss.
No, you're right, nasty bunch.
Yeah, because they upset quite a few people.
Yeah.
Auburn, Alabama, Kentucky.
Brett Favre,
yeah.
Reggie Collier,
yeah.
And I mean, man,
yeah,
they played some defense.
Yeah.
They
Our guy is still the best punter I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, you're not kidding.
Woo!
Yeah, he really was.
It exploded when he
But
punted.
Connor Gibbs is the place kicker who is visiting from Southern Miss. So don't be shocked if Auburn has another kicker in the fold before long.
Good.
All right, we're halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive. We've got some audio from Bruce Pearl. Love for you to join in as we head into hour number two here on the Tuesday Show.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Our thanks to the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us in hour number one. A little while before his broadcast gets started, 6:30 tonight is the pregame before Auburn, Georgia State over at Neville Arena. There are some tickets available, some standing room tickets, and if my sons don't get back to me, they're two tickets with seats available for tonight, because I hate to do this, but I'm not going to be able to make it to the game. I'm just looking to make it through the show today.
One more
and then,
hour, Bill.
Go home and crash. Yep. I apologize again. I know the voice probably sounds it's a little nasally and a little rasp, a little raspy
Jack.
Today. Yeah, I could get like that. I get like that. Give me another day,
yeah.
And I may be like Wolfman Jack. But we're having fun here in the studio. Love to hear from you. You can join in by calling the Drive hotline, 334-321-1390. Or you can text us on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, 334-564-1840. I hope I'm saying the right numbers.
Yeah.
I'm not taking that much medication, but I swear, earlier today, we stopped. Kathy wanted me, we needed to go ahead and look at a few more things, find some, we're closing in on being done with Christmas shopping. And we stop in to get a sandwich. And I know what she wants on her sandwich. It's smoked turkey, and she wants mayo, lettuce, and tomato.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear I thought I said that. And she said, I don't want that on my sandwich. And I went, what? Mayo, lettuce, tomato? She said, you said mustard and ketchup. And it's like, I did.
Yeah.
I asked the girl behind the counter, and she said, yes, you did. And it's like, great. So I had no telling what I'm saying here today on the air. It's not from the medication. It's just because I'm a little out there anyway. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the Drive hotline. And Terry is up first. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Coach Dunn. How are y'all this afternoon?
Doing good, thanks.
I'm here.
Bill, hope you get better. But.
Well, thanks, man.
Got a question for you on the quarterbacks at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jackson Arnold and all those guys, look, glad to have him. Wish him nothing but the best. But Holden Gruner and Walker White were both 5-star quarterbacks coming out of high school.
Now, Holden wasn't. Holden was a 3-star.
Okay.
Walker was a 5-star by one sight, and it was because of his potential. There's no question. I mean, he's big, he has a strong arm, and he's very athletic. Played against smaller competition, so he's still, you know, he's still growing up as a quarterback.
But the point I'm trying to make is this: is the coach just needs to bring in, transfer portal guys, and the lack of development of a quarterback is not done, and that seems to be somewhat bothersome to me and other Auburn fans, I think. Everybody's banking on Deuce Knight, and he's just. I don't mean this guy could just disappear. Jackson Arnold is a 5-star. Cause all we've heard is he was a 5-star going to Oklahoma. That's all we've heard.
Yeah, well, he was. I mean, he was also the Elite 11 MVP. He was a guy that showed out every opportunity that he had, and then got the starting job at Oklahoma this past year for a team that, you know, heading into the season, we knew they had a patchwork offensive line, which was much worse than Auburn's. As much complaint as there was about Auburn's offensive line,
yeah.
Oklahoma's offensive line was much worse statistically across the board
than
Auburn's was. Yeah, they did. But he wasn't the quarterback of that game. He'd been sat down because their offense had struggled so much. But then the guy who made that decision was fired, I think 2 weeks later, and they replaced their offensive coordinator. So, Jackson does not have a proven track record, but he played much better down the stretch. He didn't throw an interception, I believe, in his last 5 or 6 games. He's got a streak of 150-something passes without an interception. He led them to a solid beating of Alabama in Norman. And, no, I don't want to just take a guy because he beat Alabama. We've seen that before. But this is a guy that has a higher ceiling, at least according to the folks that rate it, of any quarterback who's ever been at Auburn.
Well, and on to the quarterback for Stanford a little bit. How do we know this guy's not Peyton Thorne Part 2?
He's more along the lines of a I'd say he's more along the lines of a more polished Robbie Ashford than he is Peyton Thorne. He is a big, fast, physical guy with a very strong arm. And he's come through and won some big ball games against Stanford. Hasn't been nearly as good the last few years. But, I mean, Ashton Daniels is a kid who, grew up. He understands this part of the country. He's from Buford, Georgia. I like the possibility, at least having somebody who has played against Power 4, Power 5 competition for the last 3 years.
Is he going to be relegated to kind of a backup role, you think?
Well, I'm sure that they've told him he's going to have every opportunity to compete, but he's not coming into the summer. So he'll get out there and compete. But, I mean, I think he's also a guy that realizes that might be the case. But he'll give them a different look. Jackson Arnold's a good runner, but he's not a game-breaking type runner. And that's more what Ashton Daniels is.
Right. Now, honestly, with Jackson Arnold, I think Elandy made reference to it in his junior conversation with him. But guys are going to be here for the spring.
Yes. Everybody, as a matter of fact, all these transfers thus far, the 7 of the 8 that have signed, are going to be in school in January. The only one isn't is Daniels, who's wrapping up his degree in 3 years at Stanford. So, and that's the plan. That's what you want, is you want guys that can be able to go through the spring, especially at skill positions, and even more especially than that, quarterback and offensive line. And that's where these two offensive tackles, the very highly touted left tackle out of Virginia Tech, Xavier Chaplin, I think is critical. It's great to have somebody like that. He was a third-team All-American as a redshirt freshman, and then this past year banged up a little bit, but still, you know, had some all-conference honors and had higher scores, graded out with higher scores than anybody at Auburn's had in a couple of years.
Tell me about the running back from Connecticut.
It's funny. Right? First of all, the connection you've got there is he's from the same high school as the three kids that Auburn signed from Baltimore. He's a bigger back at 6'1", an outstanding receiver. He averaged over 7 yards a carry this past year for UConn, had nearly 800 yards rushing as a redshirt freshman. I like the fact that he's got 3 years of eligibility, and he's a guy that could actually sort of slide out in the slot, or you can use him as a receiver as well as a running back.
Interesting. And you say Auburn's in line for a kicker, right?
Yeah, they have brought in the kicker from Southern Miss this past year. Connor Gibbs is his name. He was 10 of 13 kicking field goals, including 3 of 4 from 50 and beyond. And, of course, Southern Miss is they're going through some tough times. He's just a junior, so he'll have 2 years of eligibility. Actually, he's got 3 years. He only played in a couple of games as a freshman, so he was a redshirt freshman this past year. So that could give them some insurance in case, you know, Alex McPherson isn't able to come back.
Now, with Alex McPherson, mm-hmm. Bill, is his career over? I mean, is that pretty much is just
no, you, what he can do? No, I mean, you wouldn't say that, but I mean, right now he's just not physically able. He's trying to just maintain weight and try to gain some weight and just be able to just function on a daily basis. And, you know, kicking is something that, you know, people may think, there's nothing to it at all, but you still got to be strong enough to be able to have the stamina to be able to do that. I believe the word was Alex had gotten down under 120 pounds.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he never was real big. Was he about 165 pounds?
Yeah, he was probably 150. He's probably 150. But, I mean, when you're 5'9", 150, 30 pounds is, think about that. That's 20% of your weight.
Wow.
Yeah, that's wow. All right, appreciate it, guys. Y'all take care.
Good hearing from you, Terry.
Thank you.
334-321-1390. A couple of players that Auburn have been pursuing in the portal have picked their destinations. A guy that we talked about a good bit, Zechariah Poyser, a cornerback out of Jack State. Boy, everybody wanted him. Mm-hmm. Auburn got him in early. Felt like they had a good shot, but LSU, Georgia, Miami all really wanted him. And Miami has won this battle as the Wildwood, Florida native. So he's going back closer to home.
Yep.
And Miami, we know Miami has they have plenty of money in their chest, in their war chest as well. So Zechariah Poyser is headed to Miami. And another player, this is the guy who was there were a couple of reports before Auburn had any commitments. There were a couple of reports that Auburn's first commitment was Phoenix Jackson, a linebacker from Fresno. Well, you know, he hadn't even visited Auburn. Auburn coaches wanted to meet with the player face-to-face before they officially offered him. I think he came in over the weekend, but he is committed to Baylor. Auburn's still very much in the market for a linebacker, but it won't be Phoenix Jackson. They have a linebacker from LSU, I believe, on campus right now, Xavier Atkins. So Xavier, mm-hmm. a very popular name.
Yep.
Auburn added Xavier Chaplin at left tackle, and Xavier Atkins is visiting Auburn today, along with the kicker that we mentioned, Connor Gibbs, and the wide receiver, Horatio Fields, out of Wake Forest. So those are some of the names to sort of keep an eye on. They're going to be more. There absolutely will be more. And don't count out the players just because, all right, we did say, man, you'd love to sign them if you can when you get them on campus. But Poyser was a guy that was so hotly pursued that he wanted to make those other visits. And I think it was a very good, very wise move for Auburn in jumping in and taking the transfer, the cornerback from Miami of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been great if they gotten them both, but they for sure needed to get at least one.
Yeah, no doubt. The old saying, better to have one in the hand,
bird in the hat, and two in the bush.
Yeah, and that's right. Because you can't wait, like we were talking earlier.
Yeah, you wait, and you may not have any.
And you say, okay, well, we're going to get this guy, so let's don't do this. And then that guy doesn't come. Now the other guy's gone. So smart in bringing in the other kid.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. When we come back, we've got some Bruce Pearl audio we'll let you hear. Don't forget, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Jake Crane of Crane & Company. So come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan, ESPN 1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls. Auburn basketball tonight, the Tigers take on Georgia State. And Bruce Pearl spent a little bit of time with the media yesterday talking about getting ready for tonight's game.
A game tonight, one of really two games without our students here. And so believe it or not, there are tickets available online, some standing room tickets. And there's folks who have taken advantage of the standing room opportunities before. They will allow people to move down into the seats if they're not being sat in, and the student area is a sort of a first come first served situation. So I would encourage people not to wait to the game day to go online now and pick up those tickets. Obviously. The league is off to a historic start with five teams in the top 10. And then interestingly enough that the three other teams that happen to not be in the SEC, Duke, Iowa State, and Houston, we've played two out of three. We've beaten two out of three. So we've got a lot of tough games ahead of us. But very proud of our league to be enough to such a great start. Georgia State is a talented team, a very well-coached team. They play really, really hard. They've got sort of an SEC caliber group of starters. They got great size, and they got two posts. Their power forward is averaging a double-double, and their center is probably an even better scorer. So our front line will be challenged, along the lines of, say, a Memphis or a Iowa State. It's a very, very experienced roster with great speed and quickness and athleticism. And I think they're going to be this is the Sun Belt. App State beat us last year out of the Sun Belt. Troy's having a great year this year in the Sun Belt. Arkansas State is probably one of the best teams in the Sun Belt. They beat a Memphis team that, beat some pretty good teams out in Hawaii, including UConn and North Carolina. So it'll be a pretty fast-paced game. They play at a great pace. And, we had them a couple years ago in here. And I think it was like 72-64. They led for about half of the second half.
Bruce, you guys being 9-1 through, did you feel like you guys had the potential to get off to a start like this with the way that y'all played?
We just honestly take them one game at a time. We're still going to take them one game at a time. It's from the standpoint of, we're not reflecting on where we are right now. We are working on areas that we think we have to get better. To play the caliber of the schedule that we played and to be in a position we're in right now is certain everything I could have hoped for, but we got this one Tuesday and then we have Purdue on Saturday. So we've got is where we're at.
Could you talk about Dylan Cardwell and what he has meant and means to the program as a whole? Sure. And to the team?
Well, I can tell you that Edwards and McMillan, they're two frontline kids for Georgia State. This is an opportunity to play against Dylan Cardwell and Jani Broome. And that those two big guys are talking about, and I want our guys talking about it. Jani knows exactly where those two kids are coming from, having been at Morehead State, knows how excited they are about playing. And they played well against Mississippi State. They both played well against Kentucky. We played against the McMillan kid when he played last year. He had 10 points on us. So our big guys know that this front line will be a challenge. I think Dylan's decision to come back this year, knowing Jani Broome was coming back, Jani made the decision pretty early on that he was going to come back, and then Dylan had a decision to make. And that was, do we think we can play together some, which we hadn't prior? Because if I would not have played Jani at Broome at power forward, Dylan would have probably, even though it's not something that would have been on his heart or something he wanted to do, he would have had a place where he could have been the starting center. But and Jani and Chaney last year, I said, I feel good about where we are. I do feel like Jani can play the four, and I'm committed to playing you guys together. And that was a big part of their decision to return and play. The fact that Dylan is, one of the best defenders in college basketball. And Jani's playing really well defensively as well. But Dylan, he could be the defensive player of the year if this team keeps winning, because he blocks shots, he plays one-on-one on the post, can guard 1 through 5, again, just like Jani, and gives us great flexibility and physicality at his position. And, of course, we all recognize that Dylan Cardwell is, there's a picture in some dictionary of an Auburn man, and you open it up and that picture's of Dylan Cardwell.
What is it about him that makes him that way, that he is?
I think the way he was raised, is an incredible woman. And uncle was a pretty good defensive coordinator here at Auburn for a bunch of years and is now the defensive coordinator at Tennessee, Rodney Gardner, a great Auburn man. And my heart would run well because I know he and Brother Chet were very close. Rodney's been a great for Dylan, and I know he's really proud of the way his nephew has developed here at Auburn.
Richard, talk about that front court for Lane, Nutter have been really high scores and basically never come off the floor. They kind of bring the table.
I mean, you take any one of those three guards. I mean, we looked at all of them at different times, both coming out of high school. You know, Lane had 18 against us when he played at Winthrop. Nutt goes to the foul line 9 times a game. He's 6'7", and is a guy that can, you know, really make tough twos, and he's a really good athlete. And then the point guard, Malachi Brown, was a state champion in high school. Another, he's an undersized guard that I looked at and really thought hard about recruiting.
Going off of that, you guys have preventing teams from going to the foul line. I know y'all have had some games with some foul trouble, but you know, how much have you – I know y'all focused on that a ton in progress there, fouling as much.
Yeah, no, I think that what we've really focused on is – trying to play as aggressively before shots are taken. But then once shots are taken, working really hard to not foul and to not even blocking shots, just to not take tough twos, you know, make them tough shots, but don't bail them out with a foul. And we've worked really hard at trying to do that, and for the most part, we've done pretty well. Bruce, I'd say the other thing too about this is going to be one of the more physical games we've played.
Miles Kelly, just curious, what his update is after a couple days since Saturday?
Yeah, I just got a little bang on his hand and. Got a little tape on it for some support.
Any more questions for Coach?
That's Bruce Pearl yesterday speaking with the media as Auburn getting ready to take on Georgia State tonight. And, yeah, Auburn like a 39-40-point favorite over Georgia State. I mean, Mississippi State and maybe South Carolina have beaten them pretty handily. Yeah, Kentucky. You're right. It was Kentucky, Mississippi State and Kentucky.
Yeah. As a coach, you hate to hear something like that big a point spread.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think there'll be a problem. This team is, like you said the other day, Bill, really focused. I think they got great leadership. And I think it all goes back to what happened on the plane ride and the way Coach Pearl handled that. I admire him for what he did, and I think it's brought them closer together. And I think probably got the number one player in the country.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. So an opportunity, as I mentioned a little while ago, and Bruce said it too. I mean, there are some tickets that are available, standing room tickets. And what they're going to do with the students out and the jungle empty, they'll open things up, and everybody can go down and get on the bleachers there on the side and be right behind Andy and Randall and
the bench.
That's right. That means you're expected to stand up the entire
right,
game.
And cheer.
That's right. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Jake Crane from Crane and Company. So stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air has been caring for you and your family.
Be a part of the drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Dan is up in North Carolina where the Troy women's basketball team is getting ready for a holiday basketball tournament. So we've got it here. Drew is at the controls, and we're going to head to The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And welcome in our good friend from Crane & Company, and that is Jake Crane. Hey, Jake, how are you doing today?
Ah, man, doing fantastic. Just trying to remember if I got all the presents for my wife for Christmas. If I can do that, I'll be in good shape.
That is critical. I mean, I've got a few left to get, but you know, and I've got that double edged sword. Her birthday's the 28th. So wow. It's like there's always got to be plenty.
Do you just treat Christmas as like a double, or do you have to like wait 3 days and be like, hey, there's more presents?
Well, I mean, I usually, if I get something that I really like for her, I hate to wait, but she wants to make sure that, you know, she has something there on her birthday. So I've got a couple of things. So I think those are set. So yeah, it's always fun at this time of year. I mean, we're really. Seeing an awful lot going on. We'll get to basketball here in a little bit, but man, the transfer portal is hot and heavy, and there is no question that Auburn's different approach is working this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, getting the Chaplin kid from Virginia Tech, I always, and I'm sure, Coach, you're probably the same way. Whenever I look at the transfer portal, obviously people look at quarterback first. I get it. That makes the most sense. But I'm looking for linemen.
Right.
And linemen on the edge of the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Because getting a guy that can play at a high level in this league at offensive tackle, or getting a guy that can truly rush the passer and set the edge against the run and can be a versatile down and distance guy, is worth its weight in gold almost as much as the quarterback. There's a reason they draft the left tackle mm-hmm. and defensive ends right after the quarterback, typically in the NFL draft. So getting Chaplin was big, adding more bodies across the line of scrimmage. But the thing that's gotten the most press and should get the most press is getting Jackson Arnold.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure you're going to ask me about that. I mean, I think I can just sum it up as, you know, I thought maybe, and again, the transfer portal, you can only get what it bears, right? It's like the NFL draft. The level of position group is going to fluctuate. Some years quarterbacks are going to be really good. Some years you're going to have more defensive linemen, this, that, the other. So there may not be a Cam Ward that goes into the portal. I actually think the kid from Washington State is probably the best quarterback in the portal in Mateer. I just thought Auburn was getting out of the high ceiling business and getting into the high floor business. That's the thing that worries me. Not that Jackson can't be good. It's just that, you know, you needed to get as much of a proven commodity as possible, and you made that mistake before, and if you make that same mistake twice at that position, it's really tough to come back from.
Yeah, it's not baseball where you're going to get three strikes, I think, there. Mateer entering the portal now, and most everybody expects him to follow his coordinator and quarterback's coach to Oklahoma. But yeah, I mean, the other option appeared to be Malik Murphy, who I guess Kentucky is now looking at, along with Zach Calzada.
Yeah, and look, you know, you also got to look at fit into the system. Not that Malik Murphy can't run, but I think he's more of a pocket passer
right.
than what most people realize. You know, I see people, or, you know, Auburn people are like, oh, Quinn Ewers, please transfer to Auburn if you get in the portal. He is the exact opposite of what this offensive system needs. And if you're going to overhaul your whole offensive philosophy and belief for one player, that's a tall task, because you typically got to keep that shift up. So it's about fit. I think Jackson Arnold does stylistically,
mm-hmm.
you know, present the opportunity to run the ball effectively. It's the throwing part of it that's been inconsistent. And that's like saying a pitcher, you know, he's got a really good fastball, but when he gets into the stretch, he can't throw a strike. So it's a tough ordeal.
Well, the good thing is he didn't turn the ball over. At least he didn't throw an interception in his last few ball games. Didn't throw the ball as much because they relied more on his legs and them trying to keep the ball away from other teams. He's going to have to be able to throw it, though, this year, and you're exactly right. I mean, this one has to work for Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, well, and I see what you're saying, but, like, the reason he didn't really turn the ball over a lot is because they didn't really do a lot.
Yeah, that's what I said. They didn't throw it that much down the stretch. Yeah,
yeah. The objective of the offense is to score, not to just not give it to the other team, because if you punt, you do that in general. I know you know that, but, like, I just didn't think we'd be sitting here like, man, this guy could be good. If it was me, and, again, there's connections that happen in this, and Auburn may have not had a connection there. I don't know how you don't try and get the Mendoza kid from Cal. That's the one I don't understand. Like, maybe you couldn't because, again, that there was no connection. But to me, I mean, and he did it in your living room, like in front of you, to
yeah.
you. He fits the system. He may not have the biggest arm, but he's got a big enough arm. And, I mean, he's got some dog in him, too. I just don't. And, you know, he's got what? Like, he's not super, you know, a huge brand name that all of a sudden, you know, you're like, oh, we got no chance at. But then I look up and, like, Georgia's on there. It's just, I don't know. That one surprised me.
He, you know, the thing is, he looks like a young Carson Beck. So, I mean, I can see where Georgia's on there. The guy completed nearly 70% of his passes this year for
Cal. Yeah, and he can run. He's got that goofy running ability that, like, Jameis had. That, like, you just can't tackle this dude.
Yeah, so we'll see where he goes. Auburn's got two quarterbacks. I mean, and they needed both of them. Actually, they probably need another one now with Walker White in the portal.
Yeah, well, that's another thing with the, you know, with Jackson Arnold, you didn't get a mercenary. Like, this is your second wife. Like, she lives here now. Like, he's that young. Like, if I'm Walker White, it's one thing if you bring in, like, a senior or something. Like, you brought in Miller Moss for 1 year, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get my shot the next year. You basically brought in, like, his brother in age. So I understand why Walker would get in the portal. It made sense why Hank and Holden, they were never going to play, getting in the portal. You know, you add the Daniels kid, who's going to be a backup, I presume. And, you know, I wonder, I just wish he'd bring that wide receiver with him, but he's going to the NFL draft. So, again, I think you got two, you know, decent quarterbacks, one with a higher ceiling than the other. I don't think two decent quarterbacks equal one elite quarterback. So, we'll see. You went in there to the roulette table and you put it on green. And you know what? If you hit it, it pays like 10-1. So, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Now they need to get some defensive linemen. I think it's been interesting in the in recruiting. It was a strong defensive class here in the transfer portal. It's been mostly offensive guys to this point. They need to get some more beef up front. And boy, they need to do whatever they can, if possible, to get Amaris Williams back.
Yeah, you want to talk about spending your money the right way? Mm-hmm. Please spend it up front. Like, spend it up front. That's the difference in these games. And that's what I try and tell people. There's FCS and Division II wide receivers that can come up and play in the SEC right now, skill position-wise, that are good enough. The ones that just aren't walking around out there a lot are your guys on the line of scrimmage, tight ends, or nickels on defense that are good against the run and can guard the slot in man coverage. Like, those guys just aren't walking around a lot. So when you get a chance to not only keep what you have, you got to keep, you know, your team together, but go out and, you know, add to the army at an absolute focal point. I don't care if it's NFL or if it's Friday Night Tykes, if you run the air raid or you run the triple option, this is a game that will be determined at the line of scrimmage every single time.
Yep, no question about it. We're talking with Jake Crane of Crane & Company here on the Tuesday Drive. Well, we'll go ahead and stick with football for a couple more minutes because, I mean, not only are bowl games going on, it really is crazy to feel to realize the playoffs are just 3 days away, with Indiana Notre Dame coming up Friday night before the triple header on Saturday.
Yeah, we're actually going to live stream the Indiana Notre Dame game, first ever, the from a cigar bar. And what's crazy here in Tennessee, and the two guys that own it are from Indiana, and they're both huge Indiana fans. They can't believe it. It's like the greatest time ever for them because they haven't been good in basketball in a while, and that's typically all they care about. But, you know, here's what I'm interested to see. You know, outside of the matchup, you know, I think there's a chance that Tennessee may have more and louder fans at Ohio State than Ohio State. Like, that, one of the things I was wondering when they came out and they were like, all right, we're going to let a team host the first round of the playoff, is how does that ticket allotment go? Do you treat it like USC, LSU, neutral site at the beginning of the year? Do you treat
it
like
so.
March Madness? Apparently it was just, you know, they treated it regular.
Yeah.
And I saw something on StubHub that said 37% of the tickets to that game have been purchased by Tennessee fans and only 34% by Ohio State fans. So it's about to get real. And we know how much Jell-O shots they buy at the College World Series. I don't know how any of them get home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been talking to some folks that are saying, you know, Ohio State fans are just they're so unhappy with Ryan Day. They're almost looking for reasons to vent and let him know how much they're displeased.
Yeah, please, please cry to me about how bad your football team's doing under Ryan Day. Please, golly, we can't even go to a bowl right now.
No kidding. Oh man, any of these games? I mean, Tennessee, Ohio State, really? You know, I mean, that should be with an 8-9 matchup. Do any of the other road teams you think have a shot?
I think Indiana does. And look, by a shot, I mean every team has a shot. I think, you know, SMU, I know it's supposed to snow up there during the game, which we had Rhett Lashley on last week, and I asked him, you know, I know how to get ready for rain, you wet the ball, I know how to get ready for noise, you pump in crowd noise at practice, how do you get ready for cold? And he's like, well, we're just going early in the morning and hoping it's kind of cold.
So, you're telling me Rhett Lashley's never been cold in December or January out there? I mean, maybe it's not the same kind of cold, you don't have the kind of snow, but cold, I would think they've dealt with cold.
I think it's the wind. Yeah. I always tell people, like, in Montana, the worst part about it wasn't the temperature, it was the wind. Like, yeah. That's what gets you. But no, they'll be fine. I mean, once the ball snapped, obviously, you know, it's on the field. But as far as the road teams, here's why I like Indiana a little bit. I like them to cover the 7.5. But to me, you know, they're a top five team in the country, stopping the run. I know their schedule hasn't been great. They know who they are, right? They know they're not the Globetrotters. They know this isn't Cirque du Soleil. It's going to be peanut butter and jelly. It may be boring, but it works, right? Mm-hmm. So the downside to that is they're a team that has to stay on schedule, right? They have to be able to pitch backwards on early downs, which means you have to be balanced on offense, right? They have to get you in third and passing situations a lot, and they've done that to be able to manufacture the tight pressure to get to the passer. And then on offense, Warwick struggles creating with his feet when the play breaks down or the timing is off. What happened in that Ohio State game? They were on schedule. It was 7-7 with a minute to go before half. Punter drops the snap on a punt. They end up giving Ohio State the ball inside the 5. Then start the second half. Ohio State runs a punt back for a touchdown. Now you're off schedule, and they are not built to be explosive against quality teams to come back. So I think they can stay on schedule against Notre Dame, which is going to give them a chance.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Got to get your thoughts on basketball, man. The SEC is unbelievable. Thus far, I totaled it up again today, 144 wins, 20 losses for the conference, as five of the top seven teams in the country are from the SEC. It is just amazing to watch. And this Auburn team, they still got a little chip on their shoulder because they feel like they shouldn't be number two.
I mean, you know, just the SEC in general, like, it's not just that they're doing good. They're just
destroying
everybody.
Yes,
like, and it's everybody. Missouri beat number one Kansas at home. Like, we're just. I never thought I'd get a notification on my where it said Duke upsets Auburn at Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Right.
Like, you add that to the things. So you look at this Auburn team. I'm afraid to even talk about it. I really am. I don't want to jinx them. And the crazy part is, I don't even think they're peaking. I think they're just really versatile. We always say in football, the teams that win the most win in the most ways. And this Auburn team can win in a lot of ways, whether that's the front court and Jani Broome, who I think is the national player of the year right now. But, I mean, we got big guards, and then we got a guard from, like, New Jersey, which that always works out well. They always end up being the best. So, I don't know, we're just good, man. Like, it's to the point I'm just afraid to talk about it.
Yeah, they are an amazing bunch to watch. I mean, they're fun and they're having fun and they don't mind making the extra pass. I mean, when Jani Broome is leading your team in assists, and it's not because nobody else can do it, but I mean, you've got a guy that's has a 20-20 game the other night against Ohio State, and as they destroyed the Buckeyes, and he still has five or six assists.
Well, here's the scariest part. It's not that it's like Auburn has Kemba Walker and he's dropping 35 a night, right? You look at the box score, and it's, if you're an opposing coach, it's got to be horrifying. Because you look at it, it's like, you look at the total points, it's like 18, 12, 10, 12, 14, 16, 9, 11. 10, it's just like, it's everybody contributes. It's like they said with Goldilocks Porridge, sometimes too hot, sometimes too cold, but sometimes it's just right. And they got experience. Auburn is old. I don't want to jinx it, man.
No, you're right. Just enjoy it while it's going. Speaking of enjoy it while it's going, I mean, it is a fun time. There's so much going on. It seems like, you know, every few hours there's something else breaking. Somebody's in the portal. Somebody's decided where they're going to go. You know, the coaching moves have been crazy as well. I know you guys are all over it. Let everybody know what you've got coming up. And if somebody out there hasn't figured out how to find you, how they do.
It's easy. YouTube, Roku, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that. It's Crainn & Company, Crainn Company. Been talking obviously about a lot about Auburn. I got a lot of college basketball going on. Modern in the transfer portal. Got live calls. Tim Brando on today. That was a lot of fun as usual. Mm-hmm. But come hang out with us.
Sounds great, Jake. Appreciate it. Now, obviously, next week we're getting off next week. So wanted to nice. wish you and yours Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you. Sometime in the new year.
Yeah, well, I hope, man. Everybody have a Merry Christmas out there and be safe during the holidays, and hope you get all the presents you wanted.
Sounds good. You too, Jake. Take care, man.
All right. Y'all be good.
All right. Jake Crainn joining us as he does on Tuesdays. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind it down here on the Tuesday Drive.
Yellowwood knows that a 5-star backyard is the place to make lasting memories, like roasting marshmallows on a cool fall night. That's it. Turn it nice and slow. Get it toasted all. Oh, no, it's on fire.